So we have just finished the first part. We begin with the second part, where it says Manjushri prayer.
Nama da bhompo jidha jante yam la chata lo Panji lo te jinye Nidaya nam da rasa Jinye dhugo jinye te jinye jinye dhupa japan
Yeah.
Thank you. Om Vajrapani.
Set out as best motivation as possible, and which is the motivation to seek happiness for oneself and for others, and to overcome one's and others' physical and psychological problems and suffering. Because we are all the same, we are alike in that we. One and others equally seek happiness and equally seek detachment or separation from suffering or relief from suffering. And therefore, it is quite fitting that whatever we do it not only for ourselves, but for the sake of all other beings. that they are dependent on causes and conditions. And if we seek lasting happiness, then what we have to do is that we can be proactive in shaping and in carving our own future. It is in our hand. How can we do that? We can undo the wrong deeds one has done in the past, knowingly or unknowingly, through purification practices and through resolve not to repeat. And we can create causes for future happiness. And what we do now, in terms of body, space, and mind, become causes, and the causes will then give rise to effects dependent on these causes. So we need to remember these, and we need to remember these, and then apply this understanding to our process of seeking happiness. Seeking happiness is not a wishful thinking. It is grounded on the principle of interdependent origination. So, I'm sorry, I should have first of all greeted you and say how very nice to see you after a long gap and wish you a happy new year. But, you know, there was no proper sequence in my talk, was there? So, as I said before, I'm very pleased that although a year has gone by in our life and we have lost one year, but we're still alive and alive to see and talk to each other. And therefore, it gives me great pleasure to welcome you back and to welcome particularly there some new people. And it gives me also great pleasure to share my thought about Buddhist ideas, Buddhist ways of seeking and creating lasting happiness by undoing past misdeeds and by creating fresh virtuous actions.
Oh yeah. That is the
in terms of uncommon explanation. Before Buddha became a Buddha, he was an ordinary being, an ordinary sentient being, with all ups and downs, with all human emotions of joys and happiness. He was at times as bad as some of the worst people in the world. At other times, he was as good as any other decent people in the world. So he is said to have, once he was on the path, he is said to have undergone 500 good lives, rather 500 bad lives, 500 good lives consecutively, and then at the end of such consecutive spiritually progressive lifetimes, he attained the stage of a Buddhahood. In terms of a common experience of the Buddha's life, is that he was a prince of a powerful king in ancient India, and he left the palace. He saw that there was no lasting substance. Somebody who was born into luxury, comfort, deliberately gave it up, threw it away, because at the end of it, he knew there was nothing to it. And therefore, he sought lasting happiness through 6 years of austere practice of hard meditation. And anyway, he made it to Buddhahood. So, the Lama says, Buddha's life and our life are the same. He had the potential to grow. He took control of his life, and through consecutive virtuous pattern of life, he was able to shape his own future and attain the stage of a Buddhahood, which he dedicated to the welfare of all beings. So we too are in the same situation. We can also do the same thing. It's not that there was something that only Buddha could do and that we can't. His life and our life are the same. They are the lives of a human with the same potential. It's a matter of resolving to do it and then doing it, keeping at it continually until tangible results I gained. It's just that we now are made aware how it is possible to make a lasting difference in our lives. Most people in the world, whilst their life is the life of a human, and they know they have a they are humans, and as a human, they do have the potential, but they are unaware of the fact that there is a way out of suffering. And most people are not aware of the fact that they can also attain the stage of a Buddha. And now, what we need to do is, we need to be aware of the potential to awaken fully. And for that, we need to follow a spiritual system or tradition taught by someone who followed the path to the Buddhahood and who had given a body of teaching or discourses saying doing this leads to this, doing that set of action leads to that. and then, you know, clearly gives us a guideline to happiness. And what we need to do is, we need to be exposed to such two qualities, we need to remember them, and more important, we need to apply what we know to our daily life, to our daily practice. And it is practice that we do again and again, gradually shapes our mind, which in turn determines the quality of our actions of body, spirit, and mind. So if we ground our lifestyle and our practice on persistent practice of virtues, we will get closer to the state of a Buddhahood. In time, we will keep eliminating causes of suffering and gathering the causes of virtue for happiness.
아저제 자식이 그리는 메타마다 나도 교육 말과 메타까지 맨 메타는 유리목까지 되는 유리목 대상이 사체와가 규체와가 안들 처음이어가 이게 어른들께 가서 대화 있는 거 주인님 정말 안다 메타에 이런 말을 사이든 누구는 이제 하자 이 소포 친구 이해를 했다 이제 가끔까지 이 마체 보고를 말도 안다 때 대화 친구식이 정말 친구지 내 얻어 두게 말해서 있어 내 매 친구식이 첫 사고랑 첫 공부를 하고 사고 좀 더 많이 시켜야 되는데 그래 그래 지금 나야 네 그럼 이게 어떻게 해야 되나 이제 저기 돼
So the key word of Geshe-la's explanation is persistence application, continued practice. For example, when you want to make a tea, the first thing you do is you boil the kettle. And, you know, the moment you turn the kettle on, the water doesn't get boiled instantly. The heat develops and it becomes hotter and hotter, and then the water becomes hotter and hotter. So a continual flow of the current keeps the momentum of the heat until it reaches a boiling point, and then you could make a tea. And in the same way, so it takes time. In the same way, the moment we start doing some a virtue or some practices, those initial practices or pauses of practice will leave an impact but are not going to make immediate difference or for total elimination of suffering, because from a Buddhist perspective, we have a mountain of negative propensities, and to remove, to boil away to melt this mountain of negative propensities, the heat of the practice must be kept going all the time. Then, you know, virtuous qualities will get stronger. The stronger they are, the hotter they will be, into, like as if there was heat in melting away a great body of negative propensities.
Never say again. Come, you are sure then. That's not something.
In our hands, and there's no one in the world, least of all there's no one here in this hall who doesn't want to work for their own happiness, who doesn't want to permanently overcome all suffering of a body and mind. And therefore we all have this yearning for liberation, determination or strong desire for happiness. And then here, what we need to remember at all times is that what we experience doesn't happen without, or rather causelessly, or without prior causes and conditions that have gone before. And what we experience is not given upon us by some other people, by an outside agent. What we need to do is take time how our experiences are shaped, and because more often than not, when something goes wrong, we tend to blame some other people and blame other people as being responsible for our misfortune, for our suffering. We have a biased attitude regarding that. However, careful, dispassionate consideration or deliberation about who really is responsible for what one experiences, it will become apparent quite clearly that actually one's own action and one's own mind is responsible or are responsible for what we do and for what we experience consequently. So our actions are the seeds. So what we do becomes seeds for future germination of effects. So the misfortunes, sufferings that we experience are born of negative thoughts, negative actions of bodies and speech. If we want to be free of these, we need to be strong to apply constant restraint from these, and because if there are no causes, there are no effects. In the knowledge that if there are no causes, there are no effects. If I don't create negative causes, there won't be unpleasant experiences. In that knowledge, we need to derive the strength to apply restraint at all times. On top of that, then, from Buddhist perspective, another important thing is that the best way to seek happiness for oneself and for others is called bodhicitta, or sense of universal altruism, doing everything one can for other people, more for other people, more for other beings than for oneself. And whatever, even the practice one does, it is ultimately geared at promoting others' happiness. So that is a very potent cause of all lasting happiness. Another potent cause of lasting happiness is called understanding emptiness or shunyata, which means how things do not exist in and of themselves, how even oneself, even one's mind is really empty of any intrinsic concrete existence. Everything in a state of flux, depending on causes and conditions, giving rise to some temporal effects. And in that knowledge, if we train, if we meditate persistently, then we will move definitely forward. We will make, we will make great advances on our journey on the path to enlightenment. So, if we keep doing this, then we will have the confidence when we are about to breathe our last that I have done whatever I was able to do to the best of my ability, and I know because of these I will have a fortunate rebirth that will help me move forward. Even when we become old, most people they fear death, but a person who has done best in their meditation, in their practice, getting old will give them a comfort and relief in the knowledge that a better future is awaiting. Death after old age is not a permanent end, rather a way to experience a better future. So now, could you spend a few moments thinking about the need to develop altruism, how altruism is rational, and the need to develop and the capability that we have in developing and that is possible. So if you can recall how terribly kind all beings have been at all times, and anyway, that's what the Lama says. So could you spend a few moments to think about bodhicitta or altruism? finally, as you know, we do this dedication prayer on page 7 in English. May all beings everywhere plagued by suffering of body and mind obtain an ocean of happiness and joy at the reach of my heart. May none of the beings suffer from the evil or the evil. May none of the treasure of the mind be down by depression. May the blind be formed from the dead hear sound. May those whose bodies are worn with sorrow be restored and find new repose. May the naked find clothing and the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find hope after the sweet and sorrow and find joy. May the poor woman find solid crust and happiness and prosperity. May the be kindly granted the thoughtful harvest. May all the innocent be effective and wholesome careers bear fruit. May all those who are sitting in the world be completely free from their homes. Whatever the diseases that are out of the world, may they never appear again. May the Christ who teaches you the Christ and those bound be free. May the power of this find power, and may many people think of benefiting each other.
과연 그 이제 나에게 많이 주다도 말와 주다도 올 것입니다. 네. 전화를 계시면 주위에 주위니까 나로 그런데 싸웠더니 실제는 저중하게 나와서 이제 우리 집주인이나 주위에 갖고 와차하시다 이제 가다 주위에 이 지시에 행복시에 빙고를 했다든지 있다든지 이제 이걸 되게 갖다 죽여서 되게 이제 아마 내가 기뻐지세요 하고
So, small announcement for tomorrow teaching. Tomorrow night teaching, I'm going to teach a small book called Buddhist Tenets. The name of the book is called The Precious Garland of the Buddhist Tenets. It covers the Buddhist. There are four schools of philosophy in Buddhism, and each school talks about three things: ground reality, path reality, and enlightened state reality. And so these schools, in their views about these three things, differ from one to other, from one to another, and it is extremely useful to understand the tenets of the four schools. For if you understand these, it will help understand the greater teachings or the teaching in depth later when you attend the teachings of His Holiness the Dalai Lama or when you study things yourself. The perspectives of the four schools about these three things are extremely useful. It really broadens and it broadens your view, your understanding of Buddhism. While we do practice, how practice is done, and where do we get when we do the practice? The four schools have different views about these, and the lower schools are the views and the practices of the lower schools are considered stepping stones for those of the higher schools.
Thank you.
So on Thursdays, we are going to continue with the Lamrim path, okay. It's called the graded or the graduated path to Buddhahood. And this year, I want to talk about the Mahayana session. And at the end of this year, I'd like to give a test of a test of what I have taught, what I will have taught, so that I'm wishing to be able to do so. Whether it comes about or not is a different matter. It is my strong wish. I've done that in Mongolia when I was in Mongolia, and people find sense of fulfillment that, and they can say to themselves, I've been to this center and this is what I've learned. Here is the proof of what I have learned and achieved. And that's what I'm aiming at. So I believe it's good to have a kind of a certificate, you know, so that you can feel happy about what you have achieved as a result of being at the Buddhist center for so long. So let's all hope that it comes about. Thank you.